Martin. Dr. Martin is a psychiatrist, an Israeli, born in Jerusalem, as she puts it, when it was still Palestine. She is the president and founder of Physicians for Human Rights Israel. She is the recipient of a number of awards, most recently and notably the Right Livelihood Award from the Swedish Foundation, which is considered the alternative Nobel Prize. Dr. Martin.
So I'm happy to be here. Good afternoon, and thank you for coming. This talk of mine, which is quite hard for me, but I would like to convey to you what... Is that better? Yes? Can you hear me? I will try to convey my understanding that the humanitarian aid, which is given largely to the occupied Palestinian territories, is doing wrong to the Palestinian people. And what it does, it serves the Israeli occupation. Or in other words, it subsidizes the Israeli occupation. This is the whole idea. But now I will go into details. This presentation addresses Israel's central role in the de-development of the occupied Palestinian territory, and in particular of Gaza Strip, in two connected fields of health and economy. Various parties, including governments, international organizations, and also local human rights organizations, frequently utilized concepts from the fields of humanitarian aid. The emphasis of humanitarian discourse contributes to an approach whereby Israel, despite being the ruling power, is not obligated to provide for civil development for the residents of the occupied Palestinian territories, which is around 4 million people. Any particular privilege this population may enjoy is perceived as humanitarian gesture and not as the actualization of a basic right. In September 2007, Israel declared the Gaza Strip as a hostile entity. The restrictions included a prohibition on exports, restrictions on the exit of persons, and on entry of goods beyond the humanitarian minimum. Including diesel fuel and cooking gas. This brought about a severe crisis in the supply of electricity to Gaza. Since then, we have seen a growing decline in the functioning of the health system in Gaza. Even the release of Gilad Shalit, I don't know if you know about this, but it's a long story. I will not get into details. On October 2011, did not bring about meaningful change in Israel's policies regarding the crossing, in spite of promising to do it. Since the year 2000, we have seen a growing use of terms taken from the international humanitarian discourse regarding the Palestinian situation in the occupied territories. This adherence to the term humanitarian case placed the emphasis on the local situation to particular problems and thereby prevent thinking about complex and comprehensive solutions. The political philosopher Giorgio Agamben, a wonderful person, he lives now after being in jail in Venice. He argued or said that the humanitarian involvement conceals the rather covered division of labor that exists between the humanitarian organizations and the authorities whose policies are the cause of the disaster. I fully agree with him, of course. A humanitarian crisis is a code name for a severe crisis. For example, an outrageous absence of electricity due to Israel's refusal to allow fuel into Gaza was termed as humanitarian crisis by the Israeli government and the press. A severe shortage of medicines and medical supplies is also called a humanitarian crisis. Continued use of the humanitarian discourse deflects attention from an in-depth examination of the situation facing residents of the occupied territories in terms of economy, health system, health determinants such as water, nutrition, and infrastructure. Humanitarian actions by the Israeli government or by humanitarian organizations, some of them are really huge and very rich, leave the residents of Gaza dependent on charity and damage their ability to help themselves and to improve their situation independently in broad civic areas. Under the Oslo Accords, health was among the first areas to be transferred to the aegis of the Palestinian Authority. These agreements also stated that both sides see the West Bank and the Gaza Strip as a single territorial unit, which should have enabled continuous free movement, a necessary condition for the existence of a functioning, balanced health system. But it was never working like this. The Palestinian health system today serves a population of some 4 million people, as I mentioned, yet is geographically and functionally divided between the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. In addition to its failure to ensure public services and allow private medicine, the Gazan health system suffers from Israel's restrictions. For example, out of its 12 government hospitals, there is only one that has an MRI machine, but the machine has been out of order for over 2 years and cannot be repaired because Israel prohibits the radioactive materials necessary to repair it from entering Gaza. Gazan residents in need of advanced medical care depend on exiting to the East Jerusalem and West Bank, which have the most advanced health centers in the occupied Palestine territories. The health system in Gaza is dependent on Israel in order to operate continuously, and this is directly linked with the Israel control of the crossings. This control is evident in five main areas. Exit for ill residents of Gaza seeking to receive health services outside the Strip. Transit for medical teams into and out of the Gaza Strip. Transport of medical equipment and medicines into Gaza. Strengthening and repairing the medical infrastructure in Gaza, building new clinics and hospitals, and rehabilitating infrastructures damaged during Israeli attacks on the Strip. Last one, partial Israeli control of those passing through the Rafah crossing and always via Erez crossing. There is no other crossings. Currently, nearly 20 years after the signing of the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian health system is divided and in disorder with its budget, patients, medical professionals and medical institutions separate from each other, preventing the system from functioning as an autonomous whole. Despite all the problems arising from the political crisis between Fatah and Hamas, clearly the main cause is the Israeli policy of continued blockage and closure. From the 90 years of the last century, Erez crossing was closed to civilians with growing difficulties in the granting of exit permits. For years now, a resident of Gaza seeking to leave the Strip for medical treatment must navigate a series of obstacles, beginning with the Palestinian system. Only after the patient has a referral form, a financial coverage form, and an appointment to a hospital can she or he submit via the Palestinian Coordination Office an application to the Israeli military authorities for a permit to enter Israel via Erez crossing. In the best case scenario, it takes between a week to 10 days to receive a response. If the date set for the patient's hospital appointment passes, she or he must repeat the process from the beginning. At no point can the patient directly address the Israeli authorities to clarify the progress of her or his application. Since the disengagement in 2005, the Israeli security agency is using patients to try obtaining information and intelligence on Gaza, pressuring them to collaborate if they wish to obtain a permit to exit for medical care, as we documented, Physicians for Human Rights, in a large publication some 5 years ago. In 2010, about 52% of requests from men aged between 18 and 40 did not receive timely responses and they lost their hospital appointments. Around 700 people just were refused without getting any reason why they were refused. So those people can stay at home, suffer, or die, and they will not cross the borders either to Egypt or to Jordan or to Israel or abroad. Palestinian doctors who live in Gaza are not permitted to travel freely from Gaza anywhere else to get trained or to participate in conferences. So they are in this big prison called Gaza Strip and they cannot get any medical training. That's true also for medical students, which they cannot be trained in Gaza Strip. There are no good enough hospitals for training, and they are banned from going to the West Bank, especially to East Jerusalem, where there are like 7 good hospitals, not to mention Israel. So they are stuck in the Gaza Strip, and they cannot serve not themselves as doctors and not their community. I will quote. Sorry.
Keep going.
What?
One more.
Good. I will quote a dear friend, Dr. Angelo Stefanini, who was the head of the WHO delegation to the occupied Palestinian territories. He said, among many other things, that the development of the Palestinian health sector is held as resulting from a ongoing political disorder and the consequent system instability due to the occupation policies of isolation and segregation. B. The high dependence on foreign aid from a multitude of donors, each with its own agenda, which is very difficult to do anything intelligent if one wants this and the other donor wants another thing. C. Internal difficulties of the Palestinian leadership due to both lack of control over the basic resources necessary to run a functioning health system and domestic divisions, corruptions, lack of accountability and transparency. Dr. Stefanini concludes that as Palestinians do not have a full-fledged state to protect them, this would be the role and should be the role of the international community. The international community is thus under the obligation not to render aid that might maintain the situation created by the occupying power, but rather to ensure Israel's respect for international human rights law and not to substitute for the responsibility of the occupying powers. In other words, to subsidize it. PHR Israel is of this opinion as well. Thus, we dedicated much of our resources to identify, expose and struggle against the mechanism of separation and suppression, and we understand that there is no way to differ between the political reality, meaning the occupation, and the development of civil systems. There will be no satisfying and independent health system, as well as other civil systems under the occupation regime. B, the co-working of Israelis and Palestinians in the health arena is a way to demonstrate an alternative and subversive attitude to separation and operation. The way PHR, Israel, and, for example, the medical relief, which Dr. Alam Jarar will tell you about,